Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having an absolutely spectacular Friday. Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Okay, so Carson Wentz signs a huge contract extension. That is the news of the day. We'll get you ready for tonight's Game 4 NBA Finals in Oakland with Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports, their NBA insider. He'll join us upcoming. We'll talk some Kyrie Irving. My man Ian Eagle is going to join us. He just got back from the French Open, but I also want to get his perspective on a guy who covers the NBA for TNT and covers the Nets. For Yes Network on exactly what they got brewing there, because it feels like the chemistry is great, and my concern would be that Kyrie does not make their chemistry, in fact, better. Adam Kaplan will join us, NFL insider, get his thoughts on the Carson Wentz deal. And then we're also going to take it to Jurassic Park and get an update on how everybody in Toronto is feeling about this series. So we will cover football. I got a couple of baseball stories with Dallas Keuchel signing, with Craig Kimbrell signing, what I thought, what to make of Dallas Keuchel's $13 million deal with the Atlanta Braves. But I want to start with the extension of Carson Wentz. $66 million due at signing. $128 million overall, $107.9 million guaranteed. Wow. It's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. And what I believe to be true is that he's worth every penny. And there's been a lot of nonsense coming out of Philadelphia about his inability to lead, and about how they're, you know, he's not the guy who people portray him to being. This is Philadelphia saying, yes, he is. And I know that people, you know, sit there and go like, well, this is great for Dak Prescott. Maybe he did not, in fact, get top dollar. $30 million a year is not the top of the top of the top. And usually the case is when you're in the top 10, whoever has the next deal gets the most money. And oh yeah, by the way, he's still not in the prime of his career. Now, you can say, well, he injured his knee a year and a half ago and injured his back last year. And when you're not available, that cuts down your value. That's fine. But the fact is he doesn't play a totally reckless style of football. And even though he didn't have his best year to date this year, when he was last fully healthy, he was likely the MVP of the league. And this is Philadelphia getting ahead of it, saying like, look, we want cost certainty. We think contracts are going up. We found a way to get a guy slightly below market value. We extend him now. That way we don't pay some punishment of $40 or $50 million going up a year from now. And I think all that is, in fact, brilliant. Now, it changes where the Philadelphia Eagles are and where they're going to be over the next couple years, because they do have that much money locked into one guy. And no team has gone through quarterbacks because of injury quite like the Philadelphia Eagles over the last 5 years. You know, go back and look at all of the different starting quarterbacks they had. 5, 6, 7 years. It's like, wow. But once you find your guy and you lock in, and so my read on this is really simple. They think Carson Wentz is great. The league thinks Carson Wentz is great. He wasn't ever going to become a free agent, but this gives you cost certainty for the, in the NFL, this is long-term future. You don't do a 10-year deal in the NFL, you do a deal like this one. So you pay a big chunk up front, and then you are set at quarterback for the next 5 years. That's your guy. And he's just now coming into his prime. And if last year was the worst, they can live with that. They can live with that. And while your view of it may be that Nick Foles was better in the playoffs, the reality is that the league doesn't see it that way. They don't see it that way. And they believe that over a 16 or maybe 18, who knows, game season, that will play out. So, and if we look at it from the perspective of Dak Prescott and what he may get, you can't, I don't believe you take into account what Dak didn't make over his first 3 years because he was a fourth round draft pick. That doesn't, to me, there is no like, oh, we underpaid you then, we're not going to overpay you now. I wouldn't do it that way. The news is not great for Dak because usually the new deals end up topping the older deals. And no, I don't think Dak is as good or in the, I'm sure he's in the ballpark of Carson Wentz, but if that's his contemporary, and most people believe, myself included, and I think most football people, real hardcore football people tell you like, yeah, Carson Wentz is demonstrably better than Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott's a good, fine, he's fine. If Wentz is worth 30, then he's in the 20s, which is, look, if you're making $1 million a year and somebody says, do you want to make 20-fold what you're making? You go, yeah, sure, anytime. But I do not think this is a reset of the young quarterback market. Because if those teams are smart, and look, the Rams, they overspent on a running back early, and it looks like they're going to pay some sort of penance for it. Do they want to do the same thing with Jared Goff? Like, they like Jared Goff. Doesn't mean you want to lose Jared Goff, but it also doesn't mean you want to top Carson Wentz's deal. Why? Because people don't think that Jared Goff's as good as Carson Wentz. I don't. Do you? You know, and we do this thing, and I'm a parent now, so I'll, and some of you are as well. And you definitely remember when you were a kid. Can I spend the night at Jimmy's house? No. Well, why not? Well, Jimmy stays up too late. Yeah, Jimmy's bedtime's at 10 o'clock. Your bedtime's at 9 o'clock. Yeah, but Jimmy's, but like, you're not Jimmy. I have this with my son all the time. Like, he's in bed. We try to have him in bed 8:15. Try to have lights out at 8:30. He's 10 years old. He's like, Dad, that's ridiculous. I was like, okay, but here's the problem. He's like, well, my friends, they all go to bed at 10 o'clock on weekends. Yeah, you're up at 6:30. Weekends, weekdays, doesn't matter. And you have sports sometimes too. So we're not comparing incomparables. You're not Jimmy. I'm not Jimmy's dad. Right? Like my wife is, she's like the sleepover Nazi. Nobody like, she's like, I don't like sleepovers. And the big reason is like my kids all get up early. They just don't sleep in. And when you have a sleepover, no one goes to bed on time. And you don't want to be the parent that's like, all right, we got to go to bed. Like it's no light outside. Everything's different in context. And if you're Dak Prescott, you probably think you should get more because you got less previously. And the Dallas Cowboys probably think you should get less because you're not as good. And therein lies the rub. You're not Carson Wentz. And we're not the Dallas, and we're not the Philadelphia Eagles. We didn't win a Super Bowl. And you're like, well, he didn't even win a Super Bowl. Like, yeah, but also you were never an MVP candidate. He was the MVP of the league and got hurt. So I look at the contract thing and I understand precedent usually rules the day. Whatever contract was before, the next contract ups it by $1 more, right? Like in Family Feud, what's the Price is Right? $701, right? We don't want to go over. But this ain't Family Feud. This or Price is Right. And it's not parenting. It's just like parenting. Don't tell me what time Jimmy goes to bed. Don't tell me how much Carson Wentz's contract is. Senator, I know Carson Wentz, and you, Senator, are no Carson Wentz. And by the way, even if we compare to Carson Wentz, he's viewed as a top five, top 10 quarterback in the craft. And he did not take top tier money in comparison to what other guys had just recently gotten.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Chris Haynes is a senior NBA insider for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Chris B. Haynes. Check out the Post It Up with Chris Haynes podcast. Chris, you were the first to report that Klay Thompson was going to play tonight, but like he just pulled his hamstring. How healthy is he actually?
You know, the hamstring is always, you know, that's something you never want to play with, man. I don't think he's going to be 100% at all. But obviously, he felt good enough to play in game three, and the Warriors wanted to, you know, be extra cautious and give him a couple more days off and get him out there for game four tonight. So I don't know how effective he's going to be, but just at least, you know, to be able to use him as a decoy and just to have another offensive option aside of Stephen Curry, you know, I think that certainly will help them tonight.
What about Kevin Durant? What about Kevin Durant? Like, is Kevin Durant close?
He's ramped it up all week. Most people within the organization felt like he was going to be able to give it a go for tonight's game. Obviously, the doctors felt like he still needed more time, and I don't know, though. That situation, man, it's fluid, and, you know, it'll be tough. Like, it's tough for me to see him coming back in a scenario in which, say, if Toronto wins tonight, they're up 3-1. I mean, the first game back, you know, of Kevin Durant from an injury like that, and with the front court that Toronto has, his first game back is down 3-1 in Toronto. Like, that seems like a stretch right there. So it's very hard to see him making a return at this point, really.
What about Kevon Looney? There's been talk that he's going to try and make a return in spite of the fact that he was previously ruled out.
Yeah, I'm totally, you know, he's a game-time decision tonight. I think he's going to have an injection today. So it's a matter of pain tolerance with him. And also with the Warriors, you know, they're extra cautious in the injuries and handling the players and when they return. So I think his fate is going to be left up to, you know, really pretty close to tip to see if he can go or not. But it's a good chance he's back in the finals.
So what's the feeling around this thing? Like, with so many injury concerns with the Warriors, like what's the feeling around the series?
They really, you know, as far as the Warriors' standpoint, they feel like, you know, they've been through this before. I would argue against that, but they feel like they've been through this before. They've been down. Their slogan is strength in numbers. You know, they've proven that they can come back from deficits and other guys to step up. I will argue that, you know, this team is not the teams of the previous four championships. I mean, previous four finals appearance teams. They lack the depth that they had in those other teams, and I don't know necessarily that there is strength in numbers with this roster. So I think this is just a different beast, man. I really do. I really do think it's a different beast. I really felt like the Warriors kind of gave that game three away with sitting Klay Thompson because he really wanted to play. And I think they felt like, obviously, with Klay or KD, if they re-aggravate that injury, they feel like they're out for the series, so they don't want to jeopardize that. But at the same time, this is the finals, you know. So I just think they're going to rely on their experience to try to pull through. But I just think this time around, it's going to be tough for that to occur.
I tend to agree with you. It's a weird, like, there's a weird, like, Draymond still seems like Draymond. They're saying all the same things, but, like, this is a good team that, you know, Toronto has to have that finish line in sight and the chance of two more home games. Like, they're not a team to be trying with, which makes tonight incredibly, incredibly important. What adjustments do you think the Warriors can make, especially with You know, we don't know about Clay defensively. Offensively, you know, he could probably still shoot, but we don't know if he can move defensively. And the chance they don't have Looney, like, they were just getting way too many easy looks going back to game three.
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, Doug, I don't know. I don't know what justifies what they can make and what they can do, because they lack a lot of options defensively and offensively to kind of counter what Toronto was doing. You just hope that, you know, if you're a Golden State Warriors fan, that Klay Thompson can be effective offensively. But you have to remember, he's one of their best perimeter defenders as well. And, you know, he always is one of the top leaders in, when you're talking about miles ran throughout the course of the season, because he's always moving. And so it's tough, man. That's why I said, like, if Golden State got that game, that's why game three was so important. And I'm not saying this series is over by any stretch of the imagination, but Toronto showed me they're real. Like, I kind of expected or anticipated Golden State winning that thing just based off experience, even with Klay being out. But Toronto showed us that, look, you can't those load management games during the finals against us. You know, we're going to take advantage of it. You know, this is not the Houston Rockets. This ain't the Portland Trailblazers. So they're for real. And, you know, I wonder if Golden State is taking them lightly.
I don't know if they're taking them lightly. I just don't think they have the personnel for it. And it's at some point, you know, you have to try and find a way to win three more games. Chris Haynes joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Big news in the NBA yesterday was that by trading Allen Crabbe, the Brooklyn Nets cleared out cap space for now two max players. And, of course, previous to that, you'd talked about it. Others have talked about the idea that Kyrie Irving seems to be leading towards Brooklyn. What changed yesterday from the perspective of who do you think goes where now that Brooklyn has opened up two max salary slots?
Oh, well, Brooklyn was always in play. I think what they did just make sure they gave themselves an opportunity. Not giving ourselves opportunity, but made sure they showed everybody, like, look, we're going all in. This is what we're trying to do. Come join us. And so from that standpoint, you have to applaud Brooklyn for making the moves ahead of time. They didn't have to do it right now. They could have waited a little bit longer, but they did it. They want to show that they're invested and, they're for real. And so with that being said, you know, it's been for about a month now where you've kind of connected Kyrie and Brooklyn more so than Kyrie with the Knicks or with Kyrie going back to Boston. So Brooklyn is making a play, man. They're trying to show everybody that, you know, there's two teams in New York, and they want to show that they're the alpha male.
Okay, so what does that mean for Kevin Durant?
That means Kevin Durant. I mean, look, I think if he is looking to bolt Golden State, which I think he has his options open at this moment, I don't know where he's headed. I've never confirmed anything like that's final that he's leaving. But, you know, if he is leaving, I mean, I think Kyrie might be off the market. And if he's looking for a running mate, you have to look at probably Kimball Walker and see what, monitor his situation in Charlotte. You know, he's up for that Supermax. You know, it's going to be telling if Charlotte issues that Supermax. If they don't, then that's when I see Kemba Bolton. And I think that's probably the next logical running mate for KD should he decide to leave Golden State.
But so you don't think KD would go to KD would go to Brooklyn?
Do I think KD would go to Brooklyn? My own personal opinion right now is I don't know if I see that because I haven't heard anything definitively on that. So this is just my opinion, but right. I haven't, you know, would he go there? I think he would look at him, you know. I think he would look into him and expect, you know, they're making the moves. They're trying to be major players. Remember, for the longest time, New York has kind of ran things as far as when we're talking about teams over the summer, who's going to make big moves. It's pretty been New York mentioned all season long. Now Brooklyn is stepping in and boom, you know, so I think KD has to look into it, but I don't want to say anything to family right now if he'll really seriously consider Brooklyn, because I haven't heard that as of right now.
All right, what's the feeling around the series? Chris Haynes joining us, Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider, about Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, it was long thought he's going to LA. They're three games away from winning their first ever title. Do you believe any of his feelings have changed?
I would think they have to, Doug. You know, look, I was my colleague, Sirit, seeing in Toronto, my Yahoo colleague, we were having this talk, you know, it was in between game one and game two in Toronto, just talking about the chance of him bolting. And I said, look, I think it would be very hard, because I was thinking Golden State was going to win this series. And I think it would be hard for Kawhi to leave after getting to the finals and losing, because it would be like some unfinished business. And then she gave me a different scenario, and it made me think. And she said, well, I think that he can leave now and be okay, because he's gotten them to a point that they've never been. And she said, and if Toronto does win a championship, she definitely thinks he can leave, because he's gotten them to a place they've never been before. The ultimate accomplishment. And what else would he owe the city of Toronto? And I was like, huh, I've never thought about it like that. And so I'm saying all that to Doug to say, I don't know what he's doing right now. I have more of a pulse on Kawhi probably about a month ago. If you had asked me a month ago, I would say I still think he's leaving. So now when everything has happened the way, you know, everything magically has just came together, and it's up in the air. There's only a few people. Kawhi is a very small circle, him and Uncle Dennis and his agent. And, you know, I spoke to Uncle Dennis, you know, he got him on record for my story about a week and a half ago. A very small circle, so it's going to be hard to tell where he's going to be leaning. But we'll find out soon enough for sure.
Chris Haynes joining us from Yahoo Sports. And then you have the Lakers and the discussion about Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis came out earlier this week. Three teams, Lakers, Clippers, and the Knicks. I've been led to believe that the Celtics are still going to be in hot pursuit, in spite of the fact that he has given no promises and no assurances that he even consider signing a long-term deal. What are you hearing in regards to Anthony Davis?
It's the same. Those three teams, you know, he really wants to start anew, get with a new franchise and try to kick things off the right way. And the same with, you know, with David Griffin, you know, the new head of basketball operations over there in New Orleans. You know, this is his regime, so he don't want this thing to drag out much longer. He wants to get started. He wants to get started with the people that want to be there. And I think this is going to end relatively quickly. I don't think we're going to have a long, drawn-out process throughout the offseason. But, you know, the teams just have to be – teams know. If there's teams outside those three that's going to make a play and trade for them, they got to know that they're serious risk. And obviously, I think, you know, Kawhi Leonard, his situation is going to be another case study similar to Paul George, that, you know, if you trade for him, let's see what – kick the tires, see what happens. But I just don't think that – the Anthony Davis situation, if a team outside that three trades for him, I just don't think it'll be a happy ending.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What's LeBron been telling people?
As far as you mean recruiting, like going out recruiting guys?
No, in terms of, you know, there has been talk, hey, if they strike out, he's going to want out. I haven't heard that at all, but again, reputable people have reported that. I've heard he's very happy and that he expects the Lakers to try and fix it. But look, you have an incredible list of sources and people you're talking to. I'm just wondering what LeBron's temperature over all of this discussion has been in recent weeks.
He's invested, though. He's invested into the Los Angeles Lakers organization. He's invested into that, you know, into the city. I mean, you know, he got his son, you know, is in one of the top high schools, going to play alongside, you know, his best friend's son, Dwayne Wade. So, you know, he's in it. You know, he committed 4 years to that franchise. And, you know, I don't look, anything can change. As of right now, I haven't heard anything about if they strike out that somebody's going to ask for a trade. I would be speculating. So I can't confirm any of those reports. I haven't seen them, but I can't confirm any of those right now. But as of now, he's going to be whatever the Lakers need. He's going to be helpful and try to get some things accomplished this summer. But I haven't heard what he will do if they strike out.
Last thing, a guy who is a part owner of the Warriors pushes Kyle Lowry. And, you know, Lowry, I thought Lowry during the game handled it great, right? Like That's what I wish Russell Westbrook would have done during the Utah game. Just get the guy ejected. Doesn't matter who it is, you get him ejected. You have that power as a player. And then he said something about it afterwards. And now he's suspended for a year, more than a year, and a $500,000 fine. He accepted the punishment and apologized apparently on a phone call to Kyle Lowry as well. But this is interesting, right? Because it's been an organization that's so seen as so pro-player. It's been an organization that has been kind of forward-thinking. Do you think is there any effect tonight on the crowd, on the way people are, based upon everything that's happened over the last 48 hours?
No, because I really think that was an isolated situation. I don't think it would be anything else rowdy or anything that's going to stand out there. You know, the owner, he stepped over the line. He was feeling himself a little bit too much, and then he was ultimately punished. So I don't think this is going to be something that we're going to see a trend going on. I wouldn't have minded, you know, if there was a more stiffer ban, but I was comfortable with what was implemented on Stevens, and there was no excuse for what he did. He needs to stay in his place, remain in his place, and he's going to remain in a new place. And that's outside of the team and the team activities for about a year. So
who gets those seats? Big thing is, who gets those seats, Chris? I want those seats.
It'd probably be another billionaire, Doug. Sorry,
yes.
I don't think you fit that criteria to sit in those seats. Me or you, for that matter.
Three comma guys are easy to find in Silicon Valley. Hard to find on the radio or in print, Chris. And then the last thing is, you threw an incredible event. Which was televised, right? Media, basketball, one day kind of extravaganza. Did anyone get hurt?
Look, there were no injuries that needed to be reported that day. But, you know, obviously everybody was feeling the ill effects going into game three of the NBA Finals. You could see everybody walking with a limp. And they weren't walking with the swag walk. It wasn't like that. They were literally hurt. You know, we had one hard fall. We had a spill that we had a doctor on site. They came and checked. It was a female. Her name was Michelle Poole. Actually, it was her team who won the whole tournament. She had a spill, hard fall, but she got up, dusted herself off, and got back in there later on. Outside of that, no, there was no serious injuries to report. ACLs, MCLs, ABCs, they were all in place, and we're good to go. We're going to do it even bigger next year.
Awesome stuff. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Great event that you put on, and we look forward to talking with you as the series rolls on and we get closer to free agency. Thanks for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Take care, Doug.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Stevens was suspended not just for the remainder of this year, which it means he can't go to the finals. That sucks. And next year, which means, you know, the new arena, which was built for the team that he put in and helped and owns, he can't go there. And I'm sure he's had to pay for his tickets, like he physically cannot use them. And he's been fined $500,000, which that would stink too. Like, all of these things, not good. The intent is twofold. One, you don't want fans touching players. Understood. And two, you want to embarrass Mark Stevens. Both of these have been accomplished. Now, if we're gonna limit ownership of a team and find out because of what he's, I don't want to hear it's because he's yelling at Kyle Lowry. Didn't Draymond just kind of support the fact that because Drake is Drake, he can say what he wants to say? This was Draymond after game two talking about Drake.
That's Drake talking on the sideline. Like, I think so many people make a big deal out of it. It is what it is. He a fan, he talk, and it gets more attention because he's Drake. So many people have complained about it. Like, you don't let any other fan do that. Yeah, any other fan just not Drake. So they probably shouldn't be able to do that. That's just kind of how the cookie crumbles. He's worked his ass off to be who he is, and I think we all know when you do that, you get more leash than others. So I think there's so much talking like the NBA need this. No, they don't. Like, he worked to be who he is. You should get more leash, but I don't mind it. It's fun for me.
Yeah. So Mark Stevens worked his ass off to get to where he got. I'm sure Draymond, I'm sure Kyle Lowry in truth didn't mind it. We just taken this mob mentality of, okay, first suspend him for the year, which I kind of think is enough. Like, he's not going to go to the last games at Oracle in the NBA Finals. And he's been singled out and he's been named. That's embarrassing. And that's punitive enough to keep anybody from doing it. But okay, you want to suspend him for next year? I would have just done it indefinitely. Hey, he's got to stay away from the team, you know, until further notice. But now you're fining him $500,000. Like, okay, now it's like dogpile on him. And then this story from Dylan Byers, senior media reporter, NBC and MSNBC. Sources close to the Golden State Warriors tell me Mark Stevens, the minority owner who pushed Kyle Lowry, will likely be forced to sell his shares before the start of next season. Now, Stevens put out a statement earlier today in which he apologized to Kyle Lowry, he apologized to the league, to the Warriors, said behavior wasn't acceptable. He accepts the previous punishments. If I'm him, I don't sell. There's no possible way. There's no reason for him to sell. This is from somebody who I would consider myself more left-leaning or a centrist than right-leaning, but I do find it fascinating that many of the same people, like LeBron James, who are calling for Mark Stevens to have to sell his shares, are the same people who want to give everybody else a second, a third, a fourth chance that in our country you get. We're all about, on one hand, not being overly punitive towards crimes. It's one of the great things our country has finally figured out. It's like some of the same people that are making the arguments about the criminal justice system going too far, or about penalties that the NBA legislates going too far, now are saying, well, then this NBA is not going far enough because no one wants to stand up. And look, I don't know the guy. You know, I know he donated money to USC, and USC is a disaster too. I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I know that he lost his mind and he did something kind of stupid, but it wasn't something like Kyle Lowry didn't turn around and slug him because it was nothing. You want to keep people from doing it again. You want to embarrass the dude. Both have been accomplished. But it's like, no, that's not enough. Let's tack on something else. Let's make him sell the shares. What? Why? One, he'll make a boatload of money on selling the shares because when it bought low, selling high. Secondly, like, how are you going to control how somebody acts and what somebody says when one time they push a dude? There's not a series of events. He was just a fan who was a little bit too big for his britches, who was like Drake, only took an extra step. Instead of just talking trash, he actually had a one-handed push when Kyle Lowry came over towards him because he dove for a ball. What are we doing?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Adam Kaplan is an NFL insider. Follow him on Twitter at KaplanNFL. Check out his podcast, Inside the Birds. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. And Adam, of course, joining us with Carson Wentz, signs a massive deal to remain as starting quarterback for the long-term future. Not a surprise with the Eagles. Adam, what's your reaction to the numbers?
Well, look, $32 million a year is, I pegged it between $30 and $32 million. Let's understand, though, the Eagles did this super early. They had him for this year, next year on the fifth-year option, which they already exercised, and they had two franchise tags available to them. So they could have actually kept him under their control without doing an extension for four more years and not do anything. So they did this early. This is typically what they do. They did this with Joe Banner, the former president, in the early 2000s. They would take the early risk, but the player would take the long-term risk, because if he plays well, doesn't get hurt, that means he gets a deal that looks to be undervalued over a period of time. So that's kind of what I thought would happen. It did. Both sides, I know, are very happy about this. And then, you know, for Wentz's situation, Doug, he now does not have to worry about this based on his injury history. This is behind him. He knows they've taken care of him, and this is one thing he doesn't have to worry about.
Yeah, I mean, and I think most of us are sitting here, non-Eagles followers, like nodding our head. There are the people like, well, you know, Foles won the Super Bowl, and Foles was like, yeah, but this guy was an MVP before he got hurt. And as great as Foles was in his last, I don't know, two games in the Super Bowl year, he was equally putrid at times early on in that when he first got the football, he wasn't great. Even early in the playoffs that year, he wasn't great. And then this year, one of the reasons they rushed Carson Wentz back was because Foles, you know, Foles, Nick Foles is Nick Foles. But was that always the feeling inside the locker room, right? That Wentz was the guy, Wentz is the franchise guy, or did they need this type of contract in order to cement it?
I think the latter, there's something to that. I think they felt like, let's get this done now. Well, obviously, Foles signed with Jacksonville anyway. That's the first thing. But they wanted to show everybody that this is their guy for the future. This is their franchise quarterback. And it was important to the Eagles in talking to them that they took care of this. Now, talking to the Jaguars, it's interesting when you talk about the Nick Foles situation. I was talking to someone in the front office not too long ago, and we were just talking about Foles and how well he could do. I said to him, boy, I'm surprised that you guys are paying him as much as you are. He's never done it for a full season. So this guy, the guy from the front office said, hey, wait a minute. If you put together his last 16 games, the guy actually knew the stats off the top of his head, Doug. So it was kind of comical, as though he knew I was going to go there. But you were absolutely right. Foles, despite everything he did under Chip Kelly, let's not forget, after the 2015 season, he was going to retire until Andy Reid talked him out of it. For one season, he was with the Chiefs. Let's not forget about that. So you nailed that. Here's a guy that had somewhat of a shaky career, has shown, though, the ability in limited time to do very well. And I could tell you, talking to the Jaguars last week, they said he's looked incredible, like even better than they had imagined. And don't forget, his quarterback's coach, DeFilippo, who he had with the Eagles, is now the Jaguars.
Down Jacksonville, yeah. No, Adam Kaplan joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so how does this affect the Eagles in terms of everybody else, right? Like, that's a substantial chunk of money, $66 million guaranteed. And I know there's ways to manipulate the cap, but how does this affect them in terms of filling out the roster with other guys who want to get paid?
Yeah, so Doug, they feel pretty good about it. Now, Malcolm Jenkins has not reported to their offseason program. If he doesn't report next week, then you know that he wants something done with his contract. Malcolm is one of their leaders. He'd like something. My understanding is he wants his contract adjusted to reflect his part of the team's success. He's a leader. He's been one of the best free agent signings in the last 20 years for the football team. And they've got pretty much everyone else done now that they've got Wentz done. They don't really have much else to do here. They're in great cap position. They had over $20 million before this extension. And this one will eat up some of it, but they're in pretty good shape. This one, I could tell you from talking to the Eagles, though, Doug, they had planned for this. After last season, this was a major priority for them. They wanted to take care of this. And they've done that the last couple of years. They've extended a bunch of players. And they also declined a couple options of players that they weren't sure about. Stefan Wisniewski, will they re-sign him? Same with Tim Jernigan, who used to be a starter. He's back as a backup.
What about the quarterback market? Now you got, you know, the Jared Goffs of the world. You got the Dak Prescotts of the world. I noticed that because it wasn't, because it wasn't full price, you know, he's not the highest paid guy. I'm not sure this is great for Dak or great for Jared Goff, a guy willing to take a little bit less. Because normally these deals, it's $1 more than whoever the guy was before them.
Right.
How do you think this affects those other quarterbacks in either his draft class or in other draft classes around that same time?
All right, so Doug, let's take a look at the sort of from a macro view. Remember, let's not forget, Prescott is on the final year of his rookie deal. He's not on a fifth-year option. Anyone who is drafted outside the first round does not have the fifth year. And remember, Wentz was a first-round pick, so he was on his fourth year, plus he had the option, then the Eagles could have used two franchise tags. So the Cowboys are going to get this done. I believe it'll get done by the start of training camp. And now that they know what the Wentz deal looks like, it's interesting, some people really thought that Prescott would go first, then Wentz, but they're a little bit different stages of their career based on where they were drafted and their current contract. But Prescott should get done. Obviously, he's going to want to beat $32 million. And the question there, the Cowboys have so many extensions to do. This one's going to be interesting because they've got Prescott, Byron Jones, their outstanding cornerback, Ezekiel Elliott. They want to get him done, and there are a couple other guys they're looking at. So this one is going to be interesting. And then Jared Goff. My sense is from talking to people around the league that Goff probably won't get done this year. The Rams have pretty much said that this would be a little bit farther down the line. And the funny thing is, they were drafted one pick from each other. Goff won, Wentz two, and they're also represented by the same agency. And then Patrick Mahomes next year, they can't do it this year. That deal, remember, he's on the third year of his rookie deal. The Mahomes deal, well, not only if he gets it done, should be the richest in NFL history for any player. I think he could hit $40 million a season. I really believe that. If he does as well as he did last season, he's even close to it, because he's just such an outlier for the quarterback position. No one has ever seen him anyone like this. And he's the guy who could take it the quarterback contracts to the next level. Don't forget that when we look at these quarterback contracts, Russell Wilson got the big one at $35 million. I think Mahomes could reach, if he has another monster season, $40 million per season.
Yeah. Last thing really quickly. Tyreek Hill, it doesn't appear that the Kansas City Police Department is going to pursue this thing anymore. What do you think the league does?
Yeah, I think he'll wind up getting suspended. But remember, they cannot figure out how the child was harmed. Was it by Hill or his girlfriend, who he's been with for a while and has had a bunch of kids with? So it doesn't mean, don't forget, the NFL is no longer really relies on law enforcement as it did, but prior to the Ray Rice situation. So, but it may not be the kind of suspension most people were expecting. There was a lot of Twitter reaction, obviously, Doug, when the story came out. And we're all human. It was pretty ugly, which had been documented. But now we look at it a little differently. But again, I expect him to get suspended. But the question is, how long is it going to be, and how are they? What kind of information does the league have? And that's certainly going to be at issue here.
And then the other part is, what do the Chiefs do, right? Because this is not their first run in with a domestic violence, and it's his first offense in the NFL. If they feel like it's a offense, but not his first offense, you know, as a human being, and it's a really hard one, and it does affect Pat Mahomes because it's the most explosive offense, and he's the most explosive player. Adam Kaplan, NFL Insider. Follow him on Twitter, @KaplanNFL. Check out his latest podcast, Inside the Birds. Great stuff, Adam. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.